Would you please help me welcome everyone watching us via live stream from around the world? And before you do that, I also especially want to welcome and thank those families and parents who are in the overflow parent lounges looking after their children while also being in church. And I appreciate your commitment to doing that. And we're grateful to you that you're filling the overflow lounges, parent lounges, every Sunday. So would you please welcome both groups of people to church? I know that our visitors have already been welcomed, and if you're visiting, thank you for being with us. I met one gentleman from Rivers Church in Joburg, in Sandton. It's the building I salivate and dream about, is the Rivers Church in Sandton. So I want to say that we're almost full house and our students aren't back yet. And so it's going to be an interesting year. An exciting year. How cool would it be if we had an environment where there's only standing room in church for latecomers? Some of you are like, I'm never going to be a latecomer. That's how we'll know. That's how we'll know. You'll be standing and we'll know, might have come a bit late. I'm not sure why I'm getting a phone call right now. Is there a reason why I'm getting a phone call from someone on team? Could you just check? Someone on staff is phoning me. I'm preaching right now, everybody. This keeps me quite busy in this moment. You will have been told about a card on your seat when you first got here, or a card available rather at the entrances. It looks like this, just so you know. It's called Dream Team. And we want to encourage you at the beginning of every year to consider giving some time to serving, to getting involved in some way, to finding the small church within this big church through areas of involvement. Amen? And so we've divided up the areas you could possibly get involved in into five categories. We call them the Big Five. Now, do you even know what the Big Five are, like in wildlife? Because I wasn't sure. I had to I just assumed they were the biggest. Hello. I just assumed they were the biggest five, but they're not. Anyone want to venture a guess at shouting out what some of the Big Five are? Well, there's elephant and rhino and cheetah. No? Leopard? Lion? Leopard. Let's go back to leopard. I don't have consensus on the leopard. The leopard is one of the Big Five. Ekkes jammer. It is. You must check Wikipedia. And then lion. Have we got everything? Buffalo. So I've tried to, for the sake of clarity, assign an animal to each of the departments. So one of the departments is the creative space. That's camera, production, online, Instagram. It is performing arts. It is singing, tap dancing and dancing. It is band. It is lights. It is sound. I am referring to them as the leopards. This is because they are quite shy, elusive, difficult to find, but when you get them, very beautiful. Leopard suddenly very out there. Shy what? Shy who? Sunday services. This is everything that happens here. From children's church. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Kids' church, I've given you one of the Big Five, because it is that big a deal in our church. But Sunday services are parking lot. Let me just explain to you, two things happen in the parking lot. First of all, we're able to determine who are Christians and who are not. It's an evaluation process. We analyze from there. Then I get a message saying most of the people here are Christians, or most of the people. And then The other thing that happens in the parking lot is that you grow the most. You meet people, you discover gifts and abilities, and you learn who has a K53 and who does not. But Sunday services includes the welcome lounge, people who like people and want to greet them. It includes those who do behind-the-scenes stuff like ushering and preparing communion and getting the offering received and ready and treated with the integrity and the spiritual dignity it deserves. And I am referring to that as buffalo. Because when you see buffalo, no, it's not about, don't be insulted. It's not about anybody's size here. We're not talking about size. We're talking about task. But when you see buffalo, you very seldom see one. You see them in the thousands. And we see church as tens of thousands of people gathered together. Sign up, be a buffalo. Don't tell your wife you're a buffalo. I'm just saying sign up and be a... Their theme song will be Buffalo. That is so bad. If I asked you about Amazing Grace, you wouldn't be able to quote it. If I asked you what John 3:16 was, you'd stumble. But I say Buffalo and you say Soldier. Everybody 18 and younger are going, what? What now? Googling it. Eden Kids Church is its own big five. Because lives and families change behind that wall in Children's Church. Can you say amen to that? I love that space so much, I've given it the biggest of the big five, the elephant. And that's because elephants take care of their little ones all throughout their lives. Can you say amen to that? Sign up, nudge your friend next to you and say, I think I might be an elephant. I don't know if this idea is working, but you're gonna remember the big five, I'm convinced. Midweek serving. Midweek serving is this sort of category everyone's been asking me about. This is those things that don't involve Sunday or at Sunday, such as social justice, working through the foundation, charitable deeds. Those areas, you might say, I can't do much on a Sunday, but I've got some time. Or you want to come to church during the week and volunteer in some form of administration or volunteer in some sort of practical task or handyman stuff. That's what you sign up for. And then, Rhino. Can I tell you why? Endangered species. People who want to serve after Sunday. Andy Tola. You're rare, right there. We look after you, we tag you. We follow you on satellite. We know where you are. We've got an anti-poaching unit looking after you. You are a gift from God. You are a rhino. Grow groups, small groups, cell group, hosting, running a group, anywhere in any area. You're lions. And let me tell you why. You build a little pride and you attack the enemy who comes to your community. I haven't had to work this hard for an announcement since I was 20. Anyway, do something with your life. Please. Because all that's left are insects, ants, bees, and bugs. I think I didn't do well. Did I do okay there? Are we okay? there are people who are serving you dressed in black and yellow, because yellow is a vibe, who will gladly answer any questions and gladly help you fill in the card. Come to the Dream Team launch party. Get all the details there. And from there, get involved. We want every year for people to be able to have an easy on-ramp at the start of the year, and at the end of every year, you can have an easy off-ramp. So you don't have to feel guilty if you say, well, I'm done in that area. Annually, we just reboot Dream Team. So that people can say, look, my life's changed, circumstances or whatever, and you don't feel guilty that you're letting down the Lord. You know how it works in churches sometimes. You feel guilty because now you can't do what you promised in the 80s. And so... I know, it's. I think not preaching last week, I've pent up quite some various frustrations, and now here you are. I want to talk to you today on a topic. We're going to devote our Sunday services in January to the phrase activation. Our conversation is about how to feed your future. How to feed your future. Finding faith to feed your future. Do you know that I've discovered that most people, I was one of those for a long time, tend to spend focus too much time on the wrong thing. Most people spend all their time trying to find their gift or their ability, and until they do so, they do very little else. I've discovered that once you know what your gift and ability is, that's when the real work starts. Because having a gift is not a free pass to success. Having a gift is the beginning of work. Here's what I mean by that. I think I'm okay at preaching. I mean, I do my best. And I'm grateful for that. I think it's a gift. It's definitely not me. You should see me when I'm not on the stage. Mwilik. But when God is at work, it's a gift. But having a gift is not good enough. You have to do a lot of hard work to support your gift. Because if you believe God's called you to, in my case, speak, then you have a responsibility to find a seat for someone who will hear. You can't just roam around saying, I've got a gift. And my gift will make space for me, yes it will, to an open area which you must furnish. Amen. Hard work comes when you know your gift. But so does energy, enthusiasm, and passion come when you know your gift. Most people are in frozen slow motion because they're not sure who they're supposed to be. And if they were sure who they were supposed to be, they would go for it with all their heart. But instead, we spend a lot of time often trying to ignore the fact that we don't know who we're supposed to be. And I want to encourage you today that the Bible has lots of biblical advice and lots of leadership on how to discover who God called you to be, and then how to be full of faith, full of enthusiasm, full of energy towards your future. I find it disappointing that people seem to suggest, you know, people always tell you, how old are you, how old are you? And I'll say, I'm in my 40s. And they'll say, oh, over the hill now, hey? Let me just explain to you. I'm climbing a hill you can't even see from your 20s. You can't even see where I'm at right now. All you got is the speed hump that you think you got over last week. Just keep coming. Keep coming at that speed. You're going to see another 5 more years, the exhaust is falling off the side doors. And then you're going to learn what all of us in our 40s have learned. Sometimes wisdom is better than speed. But here's the real truth of it is that the Bible does not suggest, I don't care what science says, you don't peak in your 30s or 20s. You peak in your gift. And as long as you're breathing, you're not yet peaking. Because the Bible says he takes us from glory to glory. So this conversation over the next few weeks, I know that some of you guys, I'm going to say something a little bit rude, but it's not for everybody. It's just, I know some of you are just clocking in there for the beginning of the year service. It's okay. I did that at Virgin Active. I know that, but try to make it through the whole. Try to make it through the whole of January, because we're going to fuel your faith so that you know how to fight for your future, rather than have better and better excuses for why your future is out of reach. You get two kinds of people in the world: the kind who can explain their destiny better every year, or the kind that can excuse it every year. There's always that group of people who have a third-party reason why their world isn't going well. It's their father, their mother, their pastor, their politician, the exchange rate. There's a third party. Well, let me just take a moment and tell you, I've got a third-party reason why my future is looking very good. That third party is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when you place God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on one side of anything, and you load up all you can on the other side, that side wins every time. There's an old, I'm not even near my notes, but I will find them. I have 15 minutes to find an introduction. But there's in fact a scripture in the Old Testament where prophets, false prophets, are challenging one man of God, the prophets of Baal, the Bible says. And they said to him, well, look, he says to them, let's do a thing. You pray to your gods, I'll pray to my gods, my God. And whoever brings fire to the situation, we serve him. Whoever brings fire. Can I just take a moment to tell you, God brings fire to your life. A little bit of, you know, it drives me crazy. Can I just talk to the younger than 40 for a moment? That's this section. Can you please pick up the pace on your life? Why are you in a relationship for 2 years that you know you should have ended in 2014? What are you doing there? Speed up. Let's get going. It's like TV ads. We know where it's going. Can we speed it up? When I see a zebra now, I know it's an investment thing. Let's just. Okay, everybody working for Investec, I'd just like to apologize right now. And also feel free to sponsor our next building. But what do you... pick up the pace, because here's what you discover as you get to your so-called 40s. Here's what you discover. People can steal anything from you and you can get it back, except time. You can take anything else. You can take it away. You've got no problem with that. But wasting time on you is something I can't get back. And I've spent time listening to people argue against God and walked away from there thinking, that is an hour of my life that I will never get back again. Nothing came from that. Nothing came from that. No, you want to have enthusiasm. Now, you know, don't break any laws. But I do find this true even concerning driving. You know, if an old person, like really like 105, drives slowly or drives next to someone driving slowly, I have a lot of forgiveness. But if you're 25, and you can't find the fourth gear, now all of us have to come to a standstill while you're figuring out where your life is going. Can we get you into the truck lane so that the rest of us, or the repair lane, so that the rest of us can do something with our lives? Amen. Sure. Too much. Let's go to the Bible. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5 from the Amplified says this: the only thing that counts is faith. It's expressing itself through love. It leads me to ask the question, how many things do we do that don't count? There's so many things we do that don't count. I did stuff like that at the gym yesterday. I knew even doing it, it wasn't counting. I knew. How many of you are bad counters in the gym? You don't have to put your hand up. Just let Jesus convict you on the inside. How many of you double count as the session goes on? You're like 1, 3, 4, 7, 8. Anyone who counts out loud, I know is lying. Because you're trying to convince whoever is around you. You don't need to count out loud. Well, I was counting out loud yesterday. Counting out loud. And when the person next to me, I was doing these tricep things, Ryan, on your advice, tricep things. And the person next to me said, are you finished? I know they were just meaning, can I use them? But I detected a tone. I don't know them, but in my view, their tone was, really? Now you're finished. Is that all you're going to put into this thing? And you know, I love you very much, but sometimes I feel like saying to people, like, really? Is that all you're going to put into this thing? Pause for effect. Some people have professional expectations. And pathetic actions.
I shouldn't skip too many Sundays because then I become mean. I thought I'd title this particular message, Plug-ins for Low Battery Mode. Plug-ins for Low Power Mode. Have you got a phone that tells you when you're on low power? So what it does is it says, you only have 20% battery now, iPhone users. Can we put your phone on power saving mode? Yes. Do you know what it does? It disables stuff. It disables email retrieve and app update and app functionality. Literally, it just becomes a Nokia 3210. The way God intended phones. Right? Oh, so the point I'm trying to make is I wonder how many people are functioning on enough power to be on, but not enough power for any apps to work. The devil disabled you a while ago. All you've got left is phone call, dialing, and emergency numbers to heaven. That's all you got left. Nothing else is working. That is not God's destiny for your life. God's destiny for your life is to be fueled and powered enough that everything works right. The prayer app is working right. And the Read My Bible app is working right. And the giving app is working right. And the Praying for My Kids app is working right. And the business app is working right. And everything syncs very well so that your phone and your wife's phone are syncing and heaven and yours are syncing and everything's backed up right and your whole world can't be stolen, taken away. And God doesn't have to hit the ping, find my phone button all the time to see where you are. Yo, I hope Apple hears this message and comes to the party and partners with Investec on our next. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. Don't leave me hanging. Jesus is, it's a well-known story in the Bible, and I have a few minutes to share it. Then I'll extract three principles on fueling your faith and applying plug-ins so that I can get you out of low power mode. Jesus is crossing over the lake. When he gets to the other side, he casts out a demon from a demon-possessed man who is naked and screaming on the other side. And I'll talk about that probably next week or maybe tonight. It depends on how things go. But I did find it amazing that Jesus was willing to go through a storm to reach a sad man on the other side. And he was willing to take his disciples through it, to get a hold of a man who was hanging among the dead and didn't look like anything, but was willing to set him free. And I'm glad that we're willing to have Jesus go through the storm to reach somebody. But are you and I, as serious Christians, willing to be in the boat and take a few storms ourselves in the pursuit of somebody else coming into life? That's a whole nother discussion. I think Christians are so good at sending Jesus on assignment, forgetting that Jesus had sent us on the same assignment. So Luke chapter 8 is crossing over and there's a storm. One day Jesus said to his disciples, verse 22, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And so they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him and said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He said to his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. It's the fact that Jesus asked the disciples, why don't you trust me, that draws my attention today. It's the fact that Jesus said, I want to cross over to the other side. I need to see someone there. That should have been enough information for the disciples to know that if God intends to get you to the other side, it doesn't matter what happens in between. You're going to get to the other side. Do not lose heart in transit.
Don't lose heart in transit. You know, in transit, it's not a nice place. Even when you fly and travel, you do a long distance flight, it's not a nice experience. It's great fun at the beginning. You're Insta-storing, I'm all over the world, I'm excited. Within 12 hours, your sleep cycles are messed up. You're looking for herbal medication to get you to sleep. Your agitation level is so high, you're seriously thinking about disciplining other people's kids on the plane. You're in transit. You're lying in uncomfortable places. You've got airplanes that look so... I remember the first time I did a long-distance flight to Greece. I thought it was amazing. Even the smell of petrol, that jet fuel on the tarmac, because we used to walk to the planes. We didn't have... It was amazing. It was, this is spectacular. After about 24 hours, I was like, is that petrol? Seriously, can't they do something about the petrol? When you're in transit, it's not... But do not lose heart on the way. For the will of God is unalterable, and He will do what He has promised to do. The first most powerful enthusiasm creator in your life is knowing I am in the will of God. You know, when you know that, it doesn't matter who's with you and who's not with you. It doesn't matter whether it came through or didn't come through. Preachers, correctly, I think, usually tell you all the success stories. But when I write my book, I'm going to devote a few chapters to the stuff we did that didn't work. I'm going to devote a few chapters to the enthusiasm of me buying everything on credit card and forgetting that the credit card company was going to phone me and ask for their money. I'm going to talk about the ideas we launched out at that just simply failed. But I wake up every day with confident enthusiasm. You know why? I have addressed the question, am I in the will of God? You know, when you sort that out, it doesn't matter how fancy the person is who's coming or going. It doesn't matter how fantastic the opportunity is or isn't. It doesn't matter what you've got or don't have. You're in the will of God. Something about that triggers an enthusiasm, a passion, and an excitement. Today, some of the things that you had hoped for may not have come together yet, but can you please have this confidence? God's will prevail. God's will prevail. Can you sort that issue out? Am I in the will of God? Is this relationship in the will of God? Is the way I'm running my budget in the will of God? Can you sort that thing out? Because you will have so much peace and joy and enthusiasm and excitement if you can say, this is the will of God. I'm sure of it. Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Some of you are looking to your friends for your help. Some of you are looking to your systems for your help. Some of you are looking to strategy for your help. Have all of those things, but your true help comes from the Lord. And if I could have him on my side or be on his, whatever your theological preference, if I can settle that issue, it doesn't matter what happens, God's will prevails. God's will prevails. So, man, how am I doing on time? 2.5 minutes. I don't want you to go. I'm clingy like that on a Sunday. I met a man the other day, he came to see me to apologize. Hadn't seen him in, I don't know, 25 years, 20 years. We had a fallout 20 years ago about church. I'm always amazed at the advice people have about church. You know, it's like you're dealing with such few variables that you can only offer an opinion, but you can't be too direct on the advice because there's stuff we know we can't talk about. There's lots of stuff I could tell you that'll help you understand a story you've heard, but if I tell you, then you're going to say I broke someone's confidence. And later you'll say, no, that pastor can't be confidential. There's one thing that goes around on Facebook I can talk about. There's this guy who's insisting that I kicked somebody out of Father's house. Never did it. I can't tell you what happened. As an example, I can do this without breaching trust because the person has put this particular thing on their profile. They applied to get involved in children's church. During the application, they said that they were medically boarded for depression. That's on their profile. And they said they're not allowed to drive. But they said what they'll do is they'll go and help one church, then jump on a scooter and rush over here and help in kids' church. And we said,
We don't think that's the right space for you. Not under those circumstances. So now people are like, George is the devil and the Antichrist. And like, if that's all it takes to qualify to be the Antichrist, then you must elevate your standards. There's stuff people don't know. And we had gone down a certain road 20 years ago, and he came and he asked for an appointment, gave me a hug. When Christians start off hugging, I'm already nervous, like at an appointment. Just wants to hug me and say goodbye, and just wants me to know we're just not walking on the same road, whatever. And he said, I'm so sad to be hugging you because Jesus told me to tell you that you will never preach again. Okay. I was flippant in those days and more rude than now. This is 20 years of God working with me. But in those days, I said to him, it's funny, I saw him this morning. He never mentioned it. Never mentioned it. Misunderstanding. He came to say, I'm sorry about that statement. And I looked in his eyes. I had a conversation with him. And here's somebody who had that level of this is how things work. And two divorces later and a liquidation later and a this and a that later. Standing before me was a man who all they needed was somebody to say, God will carry you from here. God will carry you from here. Get it into your heart that the one who watches over us never slumbers nor sleeps. Don't be relying on pastors, strategies, finances, and best friends, your bank manager, for your help. Get stuff from that and invest into that, but your true help comes from the Lord. Keep him if you've got to lose all your friends to do it. Keep him. I'm over time. This group and that group know because the clock went red. Can I just tell you the two other principles? Then we carry on. Please come back next week. We're not the same without you. The weight of glory. Come to understand the weight of glory. I'll tell you what it is, then we'll discuss it next week. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, okay, we just put that aside, let the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Some people can't take pressure. They think it's dramatic. I want you to instead be dramatic and exuberant about the future so that the pressure is smaller. It's smaller. You can make pressure or problems big or small. It all depends on what you place it next to. This thing is small relative to that. Your things are small relative to him. The problem is a lot of people put their problem next to themselves and go, compared to me, this thing is big. But compared to him, he's got no problem with that. He can lift that thing up just like that. The relative weight is light and momentary because it is gaining for us an exceeding weight of glory. Relative size is a big deal in your heart condition. Let's talk about that sometime. We'll talk about relative size in the next couple of weeks. And then finally, the wisdom of gains. I mean, I definitely wrote that in the gym. I wasn't getting any of it, so I was just writing it down. The wisdom of gains, 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. A little later, in chapter 10, verse 22, he goes back to this. He says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything I want, but not everything is constructive. The third most important enthusiasm creator and fueling your future is stop asking the question, am I allowed to do it? And grow up into the environment of saying, what's the good of doing it? Because permission is for babies and productivity is for adults. Anyway, time's up. I have to honor your time. It's the right thing to do. And we're about to have another division of Christian and non-Christian in the parking lot. And that one. Have you signed up to be involved? Please don't be an ant. Am I insulting ants now? Please don't be. Please be a big five. Please. Would you stand up with me? Let's pray. I know this is rush hour, but if you'd give me a minute, I'd be honored if I can pray with you. Could I pray with you right now? The only people stepping out are probably one of the big five. Someone serving somewhere. Would it be okay if I prayed over us today that God will fuel our future and help us operate not on power-saving mode, but fully charged? That the only thing that counts is faith activated and expressing itself through love. Can we do that prayer? And then I trust you'll be in next week and invite some friends. We'll just keep finding seats. I don't know how we'll do it. We added 150 in December. I think we can still add a few more here. And then I don't know what the plan is, but I know I'm in God's will. Doesn't bother me. People say, what are you going to do? I don't know, but He knows. I might go to sleep one night and Jesus moves this wall to the back of the parking lot. If you work at BMI, maybe just not share that at work tomorrow. I know some of you do. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word that makes us strong. I thank you that at the arrival of your word, a storm is calmed. I thank you that if we're in transit, we should have courage that we will get to the other side. We will not lose heart, for he who said it is faithful to perform it. Will you teach us not to operate on power-saving mode, where half the stuff is shut down and all we're doing is getting through the day? Will you instead give us the privilege of being wide awake and fully enthusiastic and activated for the future? In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, what an honor to be with you. Thank you, everybody. God bless you.